Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you it was going to be a good show. This hour we've got Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here with us, who's got his own program on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, which you should check out. So in addition to all the other stuff he does, the going around the world and talking, and I mean around the world and talking, Deacon Harold will go talk about Jesus pretty much anywhere they ask him to go. And in addition to the books, wonderful books, including a biography, really, of Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American priest in the United States, a great book, a book you should get. There's a little bit of American history that everybody should know. In addition to all that, he's got that radio show, and he says, you know what, for a Friday afternoon, I'll just go on with the guys over at Catholic Answers. Do you ever stop? Deacon Harold, do you ever stop?
Well, I'm going to be stopping for the next 2 weeks. My wife and I are about to embark on our 30th anniversary trip.
Oh,
and yeah, we're taking the train across Canada, so we're very excited about that. And
it all
starts this weekend.
Oh, congratulations! That's fantastic. 30 years, congratulations!
Yep. Yeah, thank you so much.
A train trip is what a fantastic idea. I don't know if you can. Do they still let you ride on trains in America? I don't even know. We don't take care of anything, but I bet that Canadian, you're going to see, I imagine you will probably see, the Glacier National Park is the only national park that goes across two countries. So you probably see the Canada side of it, right?
That's right. Yeah. Banff.
Oh, Banff.
Area there. Lake Louise, Jasper are stops along the way. Very excited about that. And then we go across to Toronto, and then we switch trains, and then we're going to go up to Quebec City. Well, we're going to go to Montreal, then Quebec City, and back to Montreal. And, you know, the famous shrine up there, you know, which is run by the Holy Cross priests.
Right, St. Joseph's Oratory.
Yeah, St. Joseph's Oratory. Actually, the rector is a priest who's a good friend of mine, actually.
Oh.
Who I used to work with. And so he's now in charge of the oratory. So we're going to go up there and see him, and he's going to give us a tour. And that's right at the end of the trip. So what a great way to end our time in Canada.
Oh, well, congratulations. That is just wonderful. Tell them what time they can hear the radio show. And then I want to talk to you about keeping your peace, because you are one of those people that you're not at war with anybody. You're not trying to make anybody look bad or own anybody. You're all about helping people to come closer to Jesus Christ, especially in the Eucharist. So first of all, before we get into all that, tell me about the radio show so people can find you there.
Yeah, so the radio show is called Beacon of Truth, not Deacon of Truth, Beacon with a B, Beacon of Truth. And it airs Monday to Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So that's 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. And the purpose of the show is to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by doing one thing very well, speaking the truth of the Catholic faith in love, as Paul tells us to do in Ephesians 4:15. And so we know that truth is not a philosophy or a social construct or an idea that you form in your mind. Truth is a person. Right? In John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, not a truth, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Right? And so what we do is when we talk about certain topics, we always look at it through that lens of how we can bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by preaching the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith and love.
By the way, if you want to talk with Deacon Harold, give us a call. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Why did you make the Psalms such an important part of your show then?
So I've been praying the Psalms since I was 14 years old. When I went to high school, St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, which is run by Benedict the Monks of Newark Abbey, they had a come and see program. And I was discerning what I thought back then was a call to the priesthood. But when I got to St. Benedict's and they had this, the monks had a come and see program for monastic life, I said, oh, this sounds interesting. And so I ended up doing the program all 4 years of high school. And then I ended up actually joining the community after college. So I've been praying the Psalms since I was 14. And now I'm in my 50s. So I've been praying the psalm for over 40 years. And they never get boring, the 150 psalms. I never get tired of praying them. In fact, I look forward to praying the psalms every day because they cover every aspect of human life, every emotion, every feeling that you ever had. And the beautiful part is I'm praying the psalms differently now in my 50s than I was in my 20s or 30s or 40s. Because life experience and different things that happen to us, and you can see yourself and your life and your experiences in the pages of the psalm where God is speaking to you intimately and personally. And so there's a segment of our show called the Soulful Psalms, the Soulful Psalms. We take one of the psalms or part of one of the psalms, because some of them are very long, and we look at that psalm through the lens of our lives, the lens of our everyday lived experience, to see how God is working in our lives in and through the Psalms. And in fact, now, Cy, that part of the show, the Soulful Psalms, are now its own podcast. So you can go to EW10 Podcast Central or to iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud or whichever platform you like, and you can subscribe and download those podcasts. You can listen to them every day, the psalm segments.
Oh, that's beautiful. And Jesus prayed the psalms. I like to remind myself of that. Every time you read the psalms, this is what he was singing when he was singing with the apostles. This is what he was praying when he was in the synagogue. And every single one, every word of those psalms was prayed over and over and over again by the Lord when he was walking on this earth. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to be honest with you about why I want to talk with you about not having our peace disturbed. And I don't think that I am not a peaceful person. I don't know why I used a double negative there. I think I'm a reasonably peaceful person. But I frankly lose my peace sometimes over stuff that I shouldn't. And and I'm going to describe some recent of that, and I want you to help me out with this, because it seems to me like, I mean, I work in Catholic media, and I see a lot of people doing stuff in Catholic media that's putting down other Catholics, including the Pope, that's attacking and demeaning, and it's mean, and it's grumpy, and it really is starting to bug me that we're spending so much time on this. And it's, and I know a lot of Catholic people are having their peace attacked by this. And then I realize, well, I'm kind of losing my peace over it because I don't like all this. I don't like all this. It's like a blanket of grumpiness over the church right now. And all right, so help me out with that. I gave you my confession, even though you're not a priest. I gave you my confession. Now help me out. Like, what do you do about that kind of, when you have that kind of experience?
Yeah, and in fact, Cy, to piggyback on what you just said, I found out this week that a friend of mine, a pretty good friend of mine, actually, who I've met in my travels and we stay in contact and things like that, kind of left his job working in Catholic media to kind of align himself with the kind of rat-trat, I guess you want to call him. You know, which really surprised me because I thought he was a more balanced thinker than that, you know. And it was surprising for me to hear that. And it saddened me, you know, and quite frankly, I'm frustrated too, Cy. You know, I think of the confusion. Right now we're living in a culture that is broken, that is hurting, that is thoroughly and utterly confused, that is divided.
Yeah,
right. That's vitriolic, you know. And so what we need is we need clear, unambiguous teaching in the church to keep Catholics focused with the storm that's going around. We need that ship with the rudder that's going to keep us on the surface. And we're not getting that right now in the church. I mean, you have fiducia supplicans, you know, about blessing couples, and just all these just confusing, almost contradictory things. You're like, why don't you scratch your head? The bishops of Germany? Like, what's going on here? You know? And so you look into the church for answers. The church is not really giving them, right? I mean, so what do you do? And the thing is, I cannot focus on those things because I cannot control those things.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, I can't worry about things that I can't control. I can't control the Pope. I can't control what happens at the church. You know what I can control? I can control my ability that God has given me to go out there and give people hope.
Ah, yeah.
The truth of the Catholic faith and love. So when you have Catholic commentators and podcasters who are dividing the church, they're saying that we, you know, the anti-pope and all this kind of stuff. Say, you know what? Let's keep people right now are broken, are hurting, they're confused, their kids are away from the church, they're dealing with questioning their gender, they're being pressured in their job to conform to the culture of woke. I mean, and people are dealing with the marriages are in trouble. They're dealing with so many things right now. And so what I choose to focus on are things that I can control, helping people to remain in a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ by giving them hope, by letting them see that Jesus Christ is the light that cuts through the darkness, even the darkness within our own church. That's what I choose to focus on. So my prayer time, especially before the Blessed Sacrament Adoration, is focused on that, keeping me, you know, and please, I don't watch TV. I stay off all the news feeds and all that kind of stuff because, you know, what you put in is what you give out. You know, yeah. So I choose to open my heart and fill myself, especially this Pentecost weekend, to fill myself with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what I'm going to emanate when I go out there to do the things that God has called me to do.
I think it works in your case. And I think all of that's very helpful. But that last thing about you're not watching TV news. You're not watching television.
No.
There is something about that. If you give up that medium, you're going to have a lot less trouble staying focused spiritually. You're going to get a lot less scattered, so to speak, spiritually.
Yeah. And people say, well, how are you going to know what's going on in the world? Oh. Well, what's going on in the world? Because look, there's war, right?
I know what's going on.
Ukraine. There's this whole transgender thing. And now next month, which is the month of the Sacred Heart, it's going to be Pride Month and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's nothing but bad news, stuff that's just going to bring you down, stuff that's going to make you worry, stuff that's going to take away your peace. Why immerse yourself in that? You know, I made a choice. I will not allow myself to be taken in by all that garbage. That's not me. I mean, I want to stay focused. Now, obviously, I need to know what's going on. So there's certain National Catholic Register, like EWTN, things like that. You know, when I want to hear what's maybe going on in the church or in the culture, but just bits and pieces through a faith perspective, through a faith lens, not an agenda of secular news stations that are trying to push certain political ideologies. Because their whole purpose is to divide.
Yeah.
You know, what we need to do is figure out ways to come together. You know, so I deliberately choose not to watch that stuff. Or in the car, I'm listening to my Spotify playlist. I'm not listening to the political talk radio, any of that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Especially this year, in a year it was going to be a very vitriolic and very angry and hate-filled election cycle. You know, so
yeah.
You know, I I can't control any of that. So I just focus on the things that I can control, and that's how I get my peace.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We're talking about maintaining your peace, that peace that Christ gives. And the saints recommend to us, don't let go of it for any reason, but we let go of it constantly. I certainly do myself. I'm easy to get off of the spot I'm supposed to be on. I'll tell you some more about that when we come back, Deacon, because I appreciate your help. But I do want, when we come back, I want to challenge you with one thing, because I know there's people who will be like, well, that's irresponsible. If I'm not following the news, if I'm not staying up to date, I'm supposed to be a good citizen all that. So I'll let you answer that when we come back. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you're angry that we don't want you to be angry, you can call too. 888-318-7884.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Okay, I've been a Catholic for 5 years. But I suffered under a lot of things due to my Protestantism as a Pentecostal, and I just want to personally ask God to bless you for your ministry, for everything you do, and the help that you give people.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is here with us, the Deacon of Truth. Wait, no, the show is called The Beacon of Truth, not The Deacon of Truth. You can check it out at 1 p.m. Pacific. That's the time I know. I guess that's 4 p.m. Eastern, but 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, you can check out each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Or you can just call Deacon Harold here. We're talking about maintaining your peace. It seems to be getting harder and harder to maintain your peace. If you want to talk with Deacon Harold about that, 888-318-7884. So what do you say to the person who says that's irresponsible? You're withdrawing from the world, and you're not supposed to do that as a Christian.
Well, what does the scripture tell us? We are to live in the world, but not be of the world, right? So if you're continually immersing, see, look, I get up and the first thing I do is pray. You know, when I get up every single morning without fail, Lord, thank you for allowing me to see the light of another day so that I may give honor, praise, and glory to your most holy name. Amen. First thing out of my mouth every day. Then I do a short prayer with my wife, and then I pray the office. I pray vigils and lauds. And then I start my workday after that. So what am I doing? I'm setting myself up, beginning my day, immersing myself in prayer, uniting my heart to God's heart, you know, to Jesus' sacred heart. That's the first, that sets the tone for my day. Everything else that I do, everything else that I listen to is going to be set by that tone. And then throughout the day, of course, I'm doing the rosary, I do my midday prayer, I do the chaplet, you know, I do vespers or evening prayer, and then compline night prayer at night. So the whole day is woven through prayer. Now, throughout that day, of course, I have to think of show topics. I'm doing a daily show on EWTN every single day. How do I think of topics? Well, that's when I look at the news, but I don't talk about the politics or any of the stuff that goes with that that's controversial. Because why? It's not that I'm afraid of controversy, but there's plenty of other shows that already do that. They're already talking about things like and diving deep. What I'm not hearing is are how people are staying connected to their faith in the midst of everything going on. For example, I've been to a number of dioceses where they're merging parishes and consolidating parishes, you know, and so and they got all these wonderful little names like Let Us Be One or whatever they call it, you know, or United in Christ. But what they're doing is they're shrinking church. Because what's happening? They're looking at their priest roster and they're saying, ooh, we've got X number of priests retiring over the next 10 years, but we only have Y number of priests to replace them. And the number of priests are much higher than the retiring than the number of priests they have coming in. So what they're doing is anticipating that by merging parishes so you have one priest that has one parish but three locations, for example, you know, so those things can take away your peace. I mean, and we've all been there at certain points in our lives where we haven't been at peace over a decision we have to make, over something going on with our kids, and like I said, the news and those other kinds of things. Yes, I mean, if I do watch the news to get ideas for shows, whatever, I'm watching EWTN stuff or National Catholic Register, and I'm getting ideas. And so, okay, how can I take this idea and connect it to people's everyday lived experience so that they have hope in the power of God's love and not all of the other minutiae and distractions that go along with it? So So again, I'm not saying to live under a rock, but at the same time, don't make television and those things your God.
You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking too that you're praying because you're in part because you're a clergy. But I imagine you probably prayed that way otherwise as well. But the Catholic Church has very simple daily cycles of prayer that people can do. One of the things I don't know why more people don't do it is pray the Angelus. Pray it when you wake up, pray it at noon, and pray it in the evening. And then you have that. I mean, I think that part of the reason the church developed things like the Angelus is so that everyday ordinary people they don't have to learn how to do the breviary. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to learn it, but you don't have to. There are cycles of prayer that you can just learn them and do them throughout the day.
No, absolutely. And what we don't want to do, Si, is get stuck in a time cycle, right? So, for example, traditionally, the Angelus, which you absolutely agree with you 100%, beautiful prayer of the church, and very simple, easy to memorize, because most of it's the Hail Mary anyway.
Yeah.
6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. are the traditional times. So don't get caught in the cycle of, oh, no, I wasn't able to pray at noon, so I'm not going to do it because it's not exactly noon, or Divine Mercy. Oh, I can't. It's not exactly 3 o'clock, so I can't do the divine. No, look, God doesn't care if you do it in the exact time that it traditionally says you're supposed to pray those prayers. God loves the effort that you're making to connect with Him, your soul to His divine heart, that you're the intention and with the thoughtfulness and with the soulfulness that you're praying. That's what God is looking for. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocaust. God wants our hearts. And so there's been times where, you know, I was just so busy during the day that, you know, and I was just talking about another priest. I'm not going to say who, I don't want to embarrass him, but another priest, kind of famous priest, quote unquote, who laughed and said, that happens to me sometimes as well. You get so busy that it's like 6 at night, you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't pray this part of the office today. So you end up praying like, you know, like morning prayer and evening prayer at 6 o'clock at night. those things are going to happen from time to time, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
So don't worry. The important thing is get your peace by immersing yourself in a life of prayer.
Right.
You know, and that will help tremendously.
It does change the sense of the hours every now and then you're just returning to prayer, whether it's a brief time of prayer or, you know, it's not an athletic competition, a brief time or a longer time, whatever is your habit. But that the sense that you just finished one, a few hours from now, you'll be in another site. It changes the day into a cycle of you keep returning to the Lord. And that changes even the times when you're not even thinking about the Lord.
Yeah, it's about sanctifying the day.
Yeah.
You know, to sanctify something means to make it holy. And what you're doing by praying throughout the day is by sanctifying, you're sanctifying the day. So very simple things. Like when I get in my car, I may say the St. Michael prayer when I'm starting the car. Or when I'm walking through the grocery store, thank you, Jesus. Just pray to myself, just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that mindfulness, and I'm so grateful because right now I'm shopping for food. There's people, I walk out of this store, there's people living in tents under an underpass on the highway.
Right. Don't forget
to
thank
you. Don't have food. See, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to the airport, even though it's 9:30 in the morning, you know, and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because I have a job. You know, I have a vocation that I'm fulfilling. There's other people that don't have that are struggling to find their purpose for existing.
Yeah.
You know, so just, I'm so mindful just to be thankful to God. So I just say, thank you, Jesus. Just little prayers like that, little things you do, just praying a Hail Mary during the day, rosary walk, you know, taking that time to acknowledge the presence and the power and the purpose of God in your life.
Agnes is in Washington. Agnes, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Thank you. I love listening to the show. I've learned so very much from you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Agnes.
I I just had a couple of things from what you were talking about at the beginning. One about bad-mouthing the Pope, which I would not want to do because I want to respect his office. And then the rad trad. And so my question is, how do you find peace, or how do you find the balance? Because I feel like I know that it's okay to point out things that we think aren't being done correctly. But and how can we do it, and how can we find the peace when our mass that we love, like the Latin mass, is being taken from us in various parts of the country and the world? That's
great.
The hard part, right? I don't want to badmouth the Pope, but boy, that's really tough.
It's sticking in your craw. I get it, Agnes. Hang on. Well, we have to do the break. I didn't do the timing very well, but we'll be right back and get an answer for you from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers on Catholic Answers Live.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ, September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Agnes is in Washington. Agnes, I'm so sorry, Agnes, I had to go to a break, but I can't skip that one. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest, and we're talking about not letting your peace be disturbed. And this is something I think it was St. Francis de Sales says, don't let anything rob you of your peace. Nothing should rob you of your peace. That's a gift that Jesus gives. So Agnes asks a good question, though. She just wants to go to the Latin Mass. It's being restricted left and right. How do you deal with that and maintain your peace?
Yeah, so let's take a step back. So after the Second Vatican Council, the extraordinary form of the Mass was never abrogated. In other words, it was never said you cannot do this Mass anymore because now we have the ordinary form of Novus Ordo, whatever you want to call it. That never happened. What happened, it was restricted in the use of it. So you could still say that Mass, but you had to have, there was rules in place. You had to have permission of the bishop, or you had to be an approved apostle of the church where the extraordinary form of the Mass was part of your charism or something like that. So what Pope Benedict did when he was Pope in Summorum Pontificum, he issued a document that took those restrictions away, that allowed for a broader use of the extraordinary form of the Mass. And what were some of the, what was his purpose? That there was, well, several purposes. One was to, he was hoping for bleed over. So some of the reverence and the beauty of the extraordinary form would bleed into the ordinary form of the Mass. And he was hoping that some of the things that were adopted in the ordinary form of the Mass. For example, the extraordinary form only uses one cycle of readings. They do the same, like, let's say year A, Matthew. They just do those same readings year after year after year. Well, we use A, B, and C, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John, of course, during Easter. You know, so so he was hoping that maybe the extraordinary form would adopt a broader use of scripture, use more scripture. He was hoping for that bleed over. What was some of the other results that we saw? I saw, personally, myself, young people with young families going to the extraordinary form of Mass. Churches were packed. They were packed. And people were their hearts were on fire in love with God through that form of the Mass. And so you didn't need a bishop's permission anymore. You could just say the Mass. And I thought it was wonderful. And on top of that, there were serious discussions with the SSPX, the Society of St. Pius X, because Pope Benedict took away the excommunication. They're still not in communion with the church, but Summorum Pontificum opened a door where they were at least willing to talk about, let's see if we can do something here. And I was like, yes, this is awesome. And then it was taken away. And be honest with you, I don't understand why. It didn't make sense to me. But I mean, evidently there was people that were, it was causing division in the church. No, taking it away, I think, caused more division in the church than if it would have been just left alone. But, you know, whatever the reasons were, and I was not happy about that decision either. But what has happened? Now people are coming into camps and causing division. Either you're this kind of Catholic, extraordinary form, or you're an ordinary form of those. You're either a Pope Francis Catholic or you're not. I mean, it's just causing so many. So what do you do with that? All right. So one thing you would do is not do what some Catholics are doing and move to the SSPX. Well, if the Catholic Church is not allowing this, I'm just going to go to the SSPX, who are not in communion with the church, not in communion with Rome. Don't do that. Okay. I would find a place like the FSSP, you know, which is the Fraternal Order of St. Peter, that are still allowed to say the extraordinary form of the Mass. Find an SSP parish and go there, or find out where it is still allowed in your diocese and attend the extraordinary form of the Mass that way as well. And we have to pray and fast. You know that it'll be restored. Now, I personally, I didn't grow up with the extraordinary form of the Mass. That Mass is, I think it's beautiful. I think it's awesome. I've been to extraordinary form, but for me, I prefer the ordinary form of the Mass when it's done well. Like, for example, if you watch Mass on EWTN, the daily Mass, that is the way I think the Second Vatican Council envisioned the Mass to be. The way you see it on EWTN. But again, when I've been to some parishes, I travel all the time, and oh boy, I've seen priests ad lib things in the Eucharistic prayer. I mean, but still valid. It's still the worst institution. Or just ridiculous things in the Mass, Bert singing happy birthday and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, that doesn't belong in the Mass, you know? But the solution is not, well, let's just go to the extraordinary form. No. The solution is to pray that for more awe and reverence in the Mass, which I think that beautiful combination of having both forms of the Mass, I think would have helped each other to bring the church together. We just have to pray that that maybe sometime in the future that'll be restored again. But in the meantime, find a parish that has the extraordinary form. If that's your jam, and go for it.
If that's your jam, Agnes, thanks very much for the call. I don't think you can say if that's your jam about the extraordinary form. That's using modern.
Well, okay, if that's what you prefer.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, all right. Rory's in Silver Spring, Maryland, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Rory, we're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers about not losing your peace. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, hello. How you doing? Good evening. No, I don't really have any question, and I'm just listening. And exactly, that's what I've been doing. I really have peace. I don't really listen to the rate. To any kind of radio. I don't really watch television except, EWTN whenever I have the time. when I'm driving, I listen to the radio EWTN, and somebody had already asked me, why do you not listen? What's going on in the news? I said, we already know what's going on. There's always some problem. We just have to pray. So that's all I just like to let you know. So I wake up just like you, pray. I try to do the office. Sometimes I couldn't do it and I end up doing late, try to do the rosary. And I am really feeling so peaceful. And
can I
then
ask,
I heard about a walk.
Cecilia, how long have you been, how long has this been your practice to stay away from the news and the radio, unless it's Catholic TV or radio?
Maybe more than 20 years.
Oh, and wow. Good for you. And,
because, you know, the news is always like this. And I said, one day I said, I'm going to have a paper that says good news only, or already good news only, nothing bad news. I wish I could do that, you know.
Deacon Harold?
Oh, I couldn't agree more with Agnes. You know, and what I find, and I'm sure Agnes can attest to
this
as well.
Wait, this one's Rory. Agnes was our last caller.
Oh, Rory. I apologize, Rory. That when people, you're around people that immerse themselves in television, immerse themselves in all that stuff, they're angry all the time. All they want to talk about is this problem or that problem or the war that's going on or what's wrong with the president or what's wrong with this thing or what's wrong with government and politics. And it just riles them up, you know, and that's all they want to focus on. I don't want to be around anybody like that. Life's too short. You know, like I said, and you can't control those things. So I'm complete with Rory. You know, immerse yourself in life of prayer, and for also me, spiritual reading, time and adoration. All of those things are things that I can do that I can control every day to keep my peace.
Rory, thank you. What a lovely call. And you keep coming back to that, Deacon, this idea of focusing on what you can control, because that is part of in the modern world, there's a lot that just makes you feel helpless. Like, I can't believe they're doing that again. You know, whoever it is, whatever they're doing, from your local sports team to the government to whatever, but you don't have any control over it. So what good is it for you to be, you know, shooting your whatever the chemical is, cortisol or whatever, through the roof, adrenaline or, all right, I don't know any chemicals, but I'm just saying. But the you know what I'm saying? Like, what? So yeah. I do appreciate that. Like, there's stuff you can control. Maybe focus on that.
But even so, though, Si, there, that becomes difficult when it becomes things like, okay, television stuff, you can control that by stop or flipping a switch or whatever. But what about doubt and fear? What? When you're trying to discern what is God's will for me right now,
oh yeah,
or if you think God's calling to you something, but you're worried about what are people going to think, what if I fail, right? I mean, those are other things that could take away your peace that are not so easy to control, because it takes discernment, right? It takes entering into a space where you're kind of wrestling with God a little bit about, you know, what direction and what course should my life take?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, not so easy. Or even negative emotions and feelings from the past. You know, things that have hurt us in the past that may be, you know, whether we're conscious or unconscious, that affects the way
right.
that we deal with other people. You know, so there are a lot of things that are even more subtle that are harder to control that could take away our peace. But yet, even in those circumstances, we can still find our peace.
Rory, thanks. Let's go to Cecilia in Southern Illinois, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Cecilia, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Hello, Deacon Harold. It'd be nice to be able to avoid the news, but we farm, and there is no control over farming. We need to see the weather and see what things are happening. Yeah, but... anyway, deal with it. Jesus, I trust in you. And we always come out fine. My, I don't know if it's quite a question more than a comment. I've taught PSR for over 25 years. And our area is rural. And we've had issues with our parish because we don't have a priest for our one parish. And we're sharing. And anyway... I was teaching confirmation, like I've always done, using Matthew Cowley's Decision Point book and thrown in a lot of my own Catholic teachings.
Okay.
And then I've been told I've been mean and not teaching enough about love. And it just really was frustrating because I felt like the students, they need to know about the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts, the fruits, the seven sacraments, and the basics of the Catholic faith. But, and I'd quiz them every now and then, but I told them, no, you shouldn't really be doing that. And
wow.
I don't know. The program really changed, and I end up leaving it and helping out as an aide with the second graders. But
God bless you for your perseverance. Was it that you wanted to teach the content of the faith, and other people were telling you, look, just teach that Jesus loves you and don't bother with all that content?
Yeah, that's kind of the short end of it. Yeah,
all right. Deacon.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because what our young people need, and see, that's part of the problem is that we teach the faith. There's two extremes. We teach the faith like a subject in school. So if we do that, just teach facts about Jesus, or here's the book, read the book, do the exercise, and you will fall in love with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. If we just teach the faith that way, then the faith is going to become math, English, science, language arts, religion. It's just another thing they have to learn from the book and take a test, and then that's all it becomes for them. Then they go off to college and they forget everything because it's just another subject. But the other extreme is like, well, Jesus just loves you. Therefore, we could forget about dogma and doctrine and all those things. Just embrace Jesus's love, because what that'll do, that forms your conscience away from being pointed and directed towards ultimate end, which is God. St. Thomas Aquinas called the sonum bonum, the greatest good, which is the beatific vision, life with God forever. And it points that compass needle toward yourself, right? So it becomes about, well, if two men are in love, then who says they can't get married? Because Jesus is love. Well, yeah, you know, I'm married, but this other one wants to have an affair. Jesus is love. Jesus is still going to love me no matter what I do. Wrong answer, right? So we have to avoid both extremes. What should be done with young people is that, because I'm telling you, I hear this all the time. They tell me constantly, we want to hear the truth and we're not hearing it all the time. So what we should do is take the truth of the faith and love, present it to them in a way that connects that teaching to their everyday lived experience, so that they're taking this faith that they're learning and they're holding it up against what they're experiencing in the culture. And then I say, wait a minute, the culture says this, my faith says this, and it becomes something that's integrated. They wrestle with it, they struggle with it, but the heart will always lead them to truth, which is a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to solidify that, they also need to hear the stories of other people's experiences. What was it like? When you were struggling, how did you struggle with this? How did you work your way through this? Tell me some of your experiences. Tell me your story. They want to hear those things so that the faith is not just all this stuff on the altar. It's something that's part of their everyday life. So to the extent that you try to do that, the more I think our young people will learn to fall in love with Jesus, because they see their relationship not as something they have to learn, but as something they enter into.
Cecilia, I'm going to suggest two books. One of them I'm going to give you because we have it. It's called Secrets from Heaven, and it's on the parables and sayings of Jesus. And I'm going to give it to you because it's a beautiful book and maybe a refreshment for the soul after having been poorly treated. But I'm going to recommend, and Deacon Harold won't recommend this book, but I'm going to recommend this book. It's a book called Father Augustus Tolton, The Slave Who Became the First African-American Priest. And I'll tell you why I'm going to recommend it. Sometimes the opposition we face is in the church, not outside the church. And you have this heroic man who faced a lot of opposition in the church. I think you'll be inspired by the story. I think, and as I always say, I think every American Catholic should read this book. Every American should read this book. Father Augustus Tolton, The Slave Who Became the first African-American Priest. You know, it's not uncommon for the saints, and Father Tolton may well be a saint. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's not uncommon for the saints, even, you know, and I mean ordinary saints, the people in the parish that are just trying to do something good, somebody fusses at them for no reason. And I don't know if that's what happened in your case, but I have the feeling it is. So hang on, we'll send you a free book and read that Father Augustus Tolton book. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking about don't lose your peace. Don't let anybody rob you of the peace that Christ has made his own gift to you. But how do you do that? We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers about it, and we will continue it right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
On Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Father Joseph and Doug Keck mind decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Mother dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers as she takes calls from her family.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. At the beginning of the hour, I was saying I sometimes feel like there's a grumpy blanket over the Catholic community right now. I don't know where the grumpiness comes from, but I'll tell you, I guess I kind of do know where it comes from. The whole society, the whole planet is under a grumpy blanket at the moment, I can't plumb the evil roots of that, but here we are, and it's certainly in the church as much as it's outside the church. So how do you maintain your peace? Jesus really wants you to have peace. As far as I recall, those were his very first words after the resurrection to the assembled church was, "Peace be with you." So he's serious about it, and actually he said that just before he went to be crucified as well, that he spoke to them about peace. And so why do we surrender our peace so easily? How do we hold on to it? Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is here to help us hold on to it. And Jamie is in New Mexico listening on our app, the Catholic Answers Live app. Jamie, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Yeah, hi. God bless you, gentlemen. I just wanted to say that I agree with Deacon Harold that prayer and not worrying about what you can't control, those help. Also, something that I do that helps me is I try to serve other people. It helps me get outside of myself and get my mind off of any negative things I'm thinking about. And that's what I do.
Oh, Jamie, I love that.
Yeah.
That is awesome. You know, Jamie, you just reminded me of something. I remember once I was volunteering at St. Vincent de Paul in my parish, and one of the men in the parish lost their job. The company was downsizing. They lost their job. And so he came to church that Sunday. He was despondent, you know, because and his wife worked. So they had some income coming in, but he felt bad because now his wife is there and he doesn't want to do unemployment because he actually wants to work. And so he was just after Mass. He was just like kind of talking about it. And I said to him, "Why don't you come with me and volunteer and say, Visit the Paul?" He goes, "Well, I need to find a job." "No, keep looking for a job. But in the meantime, as you're looking for work, come and work at St. Vincent de Paul. Come and volunteer." And so he came. And what did that do, Jamie? Just like you said, he saw that even though he didn't have a job, he still had a roof over his head. He still had food. He still had his family. And he's serving people that didn't have those kinds of opportunities. You see, and he saw that his expression of God's love and helping those people really helped him come out of the funk that he was in. And it actually gave him confidence that God will answer his prayer for a new job. I love this. Guess what happened? So a guy that volunteers from another parish came, and this guy was the friend of a CEO of a company that does what this guy in my parish did. And so they got the talking. He goes, hey, wait a minute, you're looking for a job? I know the guy who owns this particular company. Let me see if he's looking for anybody. And through that connection, he was able to get a job.
Oh, man.
see how God works?
Yeah, he does.
That's why I love Jamie's call, because he's absolutely right. When you think you've got it bad, you it's taking away your peace, volunteer. Make a gift of yourself to someone else. You know, and that will lift you out of your funk and give you your joy back. I love that.
Jamie, thanks. I appreciate that. What a wonderful addition. I don't think there's just any arguing that. And so if you're mad at the church, or you're mad at the people who are mad at the church, or you're mad at the people who aren't mad enough at the church, there's always some reason to be mad. One thing, Jamie, I'm asking you this, Jamie. You're saying maybe try to help somebody. Maybe try to do something good for somebody else.
That's right. Yeah, it helps me get outside of myself.
God bless you. That's great.
That's awesome.
Send him Secrets from Heaven, will you? If you want, hang on, Jamie. We'll send you a book, a really beautiful book from Father Sebastian Walsh. It's called Secrets from Heaven, and it's about the parables and sayings of Jesus. I want to keep going because I want to get everybody on, though. Dave's in Colorado watching on YouTube. Dave, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon, or evening. Deacon Harold, I just want to say I only recently came upon your content when I was watching Times with Aquinas one time. I feel like the way you've explained what biblical masculinity is all about is really an example to everybody. So if you haven't heard him talk about this, go out and listen. But I am I'm actually about to enter the catechumenate. And one of the things that I'm struggling with is part of maintaining our peace is kind of having the feeling that the church has our back, or at least has the interests of the church community in mind. And I was wondering, with, you know, the things that are happening to Christians all over the world, especially like places in Nigeria or in China, and things like that. I'm not going to lie. It's been hard for me to, I've been trying to maintain the peace, but it's in my soul, but it's difficult to do. I feel sometimes when we feel like, you know, it's maybe not enough is being done by the larger institutions. Like, I know I can't do anything about it, but to see that nobody is doing anything about it, or at least it seems like, that's been really a struggle. And I don't know if you have any advice on how to handle that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're right. When you look at how the church is suffering in the continent of Africa, in China, in India, even now, where they're burning churches.
Can I add Nicaragua to that as well? Because we forget about Nicaragua.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's all these places of persecution that's happening. But you got to remember, this happened in the early church. I mean, we look at the Roman canon or Eucharistic prayer number one, and you see those names that are in there. So you look at and people say, well, where did those names come from? If you look at the list, they're the apostles, then the popes, and the bishops, and the priests in the first set. And then you have lay people, and at the end, the women who suffer, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia. These people died rather than deny Jesus. When I read about them in the Acts of the Apostles, when I read the hagiography on these saints that died and what they suffered and what they went through, and I see the church, people in the church going through that today. They are dying rather than denying Jesus, right? And know why? Just do a quick look. No, this is just me, Hope. Because who are they attacking? They're attacking the Catholic Church, because that's the church where Jesus is fully present. They're not, you know, they're attacking it to people's faith. So it gives me hope knowing that this happened. The early church is happening now. And I would recommend the Surrender Novena. I didn't have time to get into it, but the Surrender Novena by Padre Pio's spiritual director is a tremendous help and blessing.
Dave, thank you. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, may we have your blessing before we go.
May Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you on this Pentecost weekend, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, catch him each 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. East Coast. Beacon of Truth is the program. each weekday on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.